Okay then, let's get started. Hello, welcome to Simply Syndicated Gaming News. Yeah. Okay.
We've been talking for a while.
We've been talking for a while about stuff that wasn't gaming, and now here we are, and it's like, what's going on? I was going to talk about the competition at the beginning of the show, and I realized now we're at the beginning of the show, I was in no way prepared to do that. So I might edit a bit in afterwards or something like that. We'll see. Hi, everybody. You are, in fact, now listening to that bit that I re-recorded later and then put in at the beginning of the show. This is it right now. We're living it. So I've been over the posts and everything, and I have picked out... James Billington has won Burnout Paradise Remastered. There you go. Well done. Thank you, everybody who retweeted our posts. It really is a massive help. We're trying to grow our audience and let more people know about the show. And so you guys retweeting us and sharing our Facebook posts is a great help to us and really brings more listeners in, which is wonderful. So thank you, everybody, for your help. We don't have a competition to follow this up with because sending out games every week is an expensive business. Oh, my computer's just made noise at me. I'm just going to turn that down. Okay. And what was I saying? Yeah, so we don't have a competition, but please do retweet us and share our Facebook posts. Like I say, it's a massive help. So thank you to everybody that entered the competition. James, if you could just get in touch on Facebook and let me know your address and whether you want it for Xbox or PS4. And yeah, cheers, everybody. Back. There's a show now. There's a whole podcast that follows this bit. So, have fun. Bye. No, don't know how to turn this app off. Oh. Anyway, let's start off with news, because that's what we're all here for. In a section Mike's calling, you walk north into the courtroom, you are likely to be eaten by a GRU. I don't know what a GRU is.
Oh, come on.
Sorry. Do you want to...
No.
No, okay, I'll look it up later.
No, that's on you.
Well, the only GRU I know of is the one from Despicable Me.
Yeah, oh me God. Too.
How is this happening? I'm the youngest person here.
A GRU is a sinister lurking presence in the dark places of the earth with insatiable appetite. Its favorite diet is either adventurers or enchanters. Its appetite is only tempered by its fear of light. There you go.
I went out of the way to use a fucking reference.
Oh, it's
older
from
than
Zork.
Me.
It's from Zork.
It's from Zork.
I've never played Zork. Not once
Do
ever.
Do I strike either of you as anyone who's played any more than, you know, has never played a minute of Zork?
Do you know what? There's no reason to play games like that now. They're just... text adventures. Too much.
I'm really angry with you both right now.
Sorry.
I'm not angry. Just disappointed.
What's this thing with Niantic then? They're settling 1.6... Oh, yes, they had a Pokemon Go festival, didn't they, a while ago?
They tried.
Yes.
They tried really. Right, the artist.
It went very, very wrong, and some arseholes are suing them. Do you know what? I'm not coming to Niantic's defense over this. They fucked up a thing, but I greatly don't like the people that are like, I had a bad day out, I should sue somebody. Like, you went to a thing and it was shit, deal with it. That doesn't result in a lawsuit. It's a $25 ticket fee. Just write that off in your life.
But some of them had to go outside.
Well, they shouldn't be playing Pokemon Go then. Really? That's a terrible game to play if you don't want to go out.
That is true, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I used to play it when I went outside. It made me go places I didn't want to go, so I stopped. That was it.
I played it when I went outside and played it, and I found zero corpses. No stars. You know, literally unplayable.
Yeah.
So this is some sort of class. I think this is a class action by a bunch of people. So they'll all get like, of that, you know, 1 million, 1.5 mil, they'll all get like £6.50.
What a waste of fucking time and effort and everything. I hate this. This is just an unpleasant story. Oh, your Pokemon Go festival wasn't as good as you hoped. Oh, come on. Come on. I don't know. I don't have anything else to say about that.
I just did the math, and 1,000 of the festival goers are members of this lawsuit, which they aren't. They would about $75 each off of this. So,
well, good for them.
Yeah, it doesn't really actually say how many people were filing against them, but yeah.
Quite frankly, any is too many. Lindsay Lohan loses appeal against GTA 5 makers using her likeness in-game. Again. Oh, Lindsay.
Again, I'm disappointed you didn't use my headline, you fuck.
Sorry, what was your headline?
Lindsay Lohan loses laughable likeness lawsuit. Lol.
Lol. Okay, that is better. Lindsay, this I didn't just... see it. I'd already clicked on the article. So
I woke up for this. Okay?
Sorry. So here's the story, right? In 2013, GTA 5 came out.
Fucking hell.
Okay?
Don't say that.
Yeah.
In
2013, the best-selling game in this country last week was released. And
oh, you know, we give them a hard time for that graphic of games released, but you know, fuck it, they don't need to. They don't need to bring out anything new. It's GTA 5. It's their Skyrim.
Exactly. It's their Skyrim. And in it, is it just the picture at the beginning?
It is that picture. Although that picture sparked fierce debate over, like, who is it actually supposed? What celebrity is that actually supposed to be? There was a whole bunch of them. You know, I can't actually rattle off the names because I don't know any of them, which I'm actually proud of. But there is also a character in the game who is a. I'm going to try and use the, you know, the PC terms rather than where my mind immediately goes to. She is a vapid, empty-headed celebrity who you constantly have to aid her in escaping from self-created issues involving the paparazzi.
Yes.
And she talks about all this bullshit. So there's a couple of missions with a character like that. And Lindsay Lohan saw this horrible, horrible caricature of, a terrible kind of person to be and thought, that's me. Give me money.
Yeah.
And Rockstar were like, I think it almost would have been fantastic if they'd just gone, yep, you know what? Here's some money, Lindsay. You stupid, stupid asshole.
It's what's so funny is that it was not meant to be her. It's a sort of generic, yeah, vapid starlet character,
which she just she what makes decided. It so much delicious. Yeah,
it really does. It really does.
That's a
to be fair, there are several people like Lindsay Lohan who could have put their hand up and said, "Hey, that's me."
Exactly.
But they were all slightly clever enough to not do that.
Yeah, they thought, oh, it would be a bad thing if I chose to associate myself with that.
Or they still had a publicist or something like that. I don't know who's representing Lindsay Lohan these days, or indeed what she's doing.
She is mostly getting her top off at this point.
Okay.
I think she was mostly getting her top off at that point also. Her career had, you know, even in 2013, I don't know. Here's the terrible thing about people is I don't know what she is.
No,
was she a singer?
She was a Disney kid, actor, wasn't she? Hang on, I'm bringing up her Wikipedia. Yeah.
She seems like a Disney kid.
She was.
She's a train wreck that has become her life. She totally seems like she should have been a Disney kid.
Well, Wikipedia says she is an American actress, businesswoman, fashion designer, and singer.
Right. So she's basically pointless.
Signed to Ford Models as a child. She's been on things, was in Freaky Friday. Oh, I don't think she was a Disney kid.
Right.
Lohan remained in a role on Another World. Right. That was a Disney thing. And then she was in The Parent Trap. Yeah, all right, okay. I thought she was a Disney kid like Britney or Christina Aguilera or Kurt Russell or Keanu Reeves. But no, she was just in some Disney stuff. And my favorite Lindsay Lohan story is when Harry Styles of One Direction confessed that he got really shit-faced one night, went round Lindsay Lohan's to see if he could fuck her, and she turned him away. And when asked about it, she said, "Oh, I didn't know who he was."
That would have totally changed things.
Not, I don't shag random drunk men who turn up on my doorstep at 2 a.m. No, that's not what she said. She said, "If only I'd known he was Harry Styles of One Direction, he'd have got his knob wet." But no. Oh, well. Classy chick. Classy chick.
So she lost this lawsuit, which she filed, and now she's lost she got battered, and... No, and she decided to appeal that decision, and now the appeal has completely fallen through. Unanimous vote, 6-0. And so it's over now.
Yeah. Oh, she was in Scary Movie 5 years ago.
Five.
Jesus Christ, they really did. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I think that series...
Yeah, bad films.
Beat
bad
that
films.
In...
Yeah.
Well, first Beat one was good. Second one was okay. Third,
I disagree. I think the second one was one of the worst films I've ever seen.
Really? It's been a long time. Yeah. All I remember is Tim Curry.
Really, really awful film. But unfortunately, Lindsay Lohan won't be getting any GTA 5 money, of which I believe there is a big pile, but she's not.
There seems to be.
Yeah, she's not getting any. So we'll move on from her, because Kansas have passed an anti-swatting bill. Named after victim Andrew Finch, because Americans somehow like to name their laws after people.
Yeah, we don't really do that over here. Occasionally,
we've got a couple. Yeah.
Okay.
But, so this was the dude who got swatted. He had absolutely nothing to do with the online thing that caused the swatting. He was just a random person whose address was given out.
All right.
So yeah, this guy did nothing. This guy did absolutely nothing to deserve. Not that anyone deserves to be shot by armed police arriving at their house. Still, being America, it's gotten considerably more press as to the fact that, bad video gamer caused guy to die rather than police officer shoots unarmed man.
Yeah, they don't
who answers the door.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't question that.
So generally, swatting, fucking horrible thing anyway. And so
I don't hear about it much in the UK.
It happens. Do you remember I sent you that Top Hat Gaming Man video a couple of weeks ago?
Oh, yes, I did. Neither of you really... I could not make it through.
Yeah, you didn't like it. But the reason I bring that up is that guy was swatted last week.
Bloody hell.
He was on Twitch, and suddenly there's a bang on the door, and it's a few police people. Who've received reports of loud domestic violence coming from his house, whatever. And they
is, when he answered his door, was there,
Well, yeah, that this is the difference.
Who said, "Hello, sir, we've received some reports."
Yeah.
Or was there a man saying, "You die now"?
Well, that's just it. Two women police officers went in his house and had a quiet word with him and met his wife and then they left, and nobody was shot or even threatened with it at any point. So, but that was swatting, and he's got the whole thing on video because he was streaming on Twitch at the time, which is sort of indisputable
Rich,
proof.
You've gone robot again.
Have I shit? Okay, let's move on then.
Okay,
microtransactions to be removed from Middle Earth. Shadow of War. And the world shrugs and goes, "Forgotten about that game by now, mate."
They stuck him on an eagle and fucked him off to Mount Doom.
Yeah. Like, what? Shadow of War? That's so 2017.
Oh, God.
Who
Absolutely.
Cares now? Yeah, who cares? Yeah.
It's like fidget spinners.
Absolutely. Yeah.
My little sister walked into the room last night with a fidget spinner. I was like, "What the fuck is that?"
Get back to last year, demon.
Yes.
That's what it is. So Shadow of War. Meh. This was one of the games that they fucked up with loot boxes.
Yeah, but it managed to sort of skate under the, the EA backlash really took the focus off this one.
They're lucky it happened because they were front and center with this one for a couple of months, and then EA were like, oh, hold my beer. And, then we got what we got with Battlefront 2. But this was every bit as bad. And now they've basically said, I think microtransactions do fuck up this game. Let's remove them altogether. No shit, Sherlock.
But here's the thing. Part of me was like, well, I really enjoyed the first, you played it last year, the first Middle Earth Shadow of whatever it was back then. Shadows, they changed so much. But I was curious to try this out. And when it said that they were taking out the microtransactions, I was more curious. And then I thought, well, this game does seem to have been designed in a very real way around those microtransactions. So if they just rip them out, I don't think that it's going to make it necessarily any better, because you're going to be able to sense it by its absence. The absence of something that was once there often leaves a hole, a shadow, if you will.
Absolutely.
Because people obviously were complaining that without doing the microtransactions, the game was incredibly grindy. And so unless they're also addressing that, it sounds like the game is, if anything, somehow just going to get worse.
I think they have. And I might be prepared to try this maybe next year if there's some sort of Game of the Year edition that has any DLC and all of this update in it already. But other than that, no.
Right. Yeah, I mean, as well, I mean, about it being grindy as well, because I know that when this game first came out and we talked about it, mm-hmm. they were saying about, oh, this game's got three different currencies, because, one's the microtransaction one, and then there's two in the game. So this is just basically a game of spreadsheets now, because I've got three different currencies and an incredibly grindy, like RTS light kind of division management, army management sim going on. So whereas the first game is sort of a sub-Assassin's Creed-y open world, do things how you like it kind of game. Yeah. It was like, how can we really suck any fun out of this concept? I know, all of these things. So, yeah, I mean, really.
Yeah, I just realized the first Shadow of Mordor game, it was actually quite ahead of its time, because it's very Assassin's Creed Origins-like. It's Assassin's Creed meets Far Cry. It has the sort of Assassin's Creed third person gameplay, but they combined it with a very Far Cry area clearing, outpost type thing. So whereas the second one, they really fucked that.
Yeah. So I honestly think, and would say to our listeners, don't fucking buy this game.
I could see it becoming part of like a Games with Gold or PlayStation Plus sometime in the next year.
I could see that happening. So do not expend cash, unless you can get it for like a, on a 3 for $2 or something like that. Do not expend cash on this, because I really feel like they'll be giving it away soon. I think you're right, Mike.
Well, obviously that doesn't need to be said, but
I just object to the notion that in some way these games have to be played. And so that there's things the company can do to make them better than they were, so that we want to play them. And the truth is, fuck off. I don't need to play your Star Wars game. You don't get a free pass just because you can put Darth Vader in something, or just because it's Lord of the Rings. And I'm not that into Lord of the Rings that I'm buying anything with fucking Lord of the Rings written on it. So I don't want to play these games ever. If you've, come at a game with good intentions to start with, and I'll be more interested, because there are plenty of people doing that, and I'd rather support them than Warner Brothers, who realized they fucked up by being too greedy.
And it is also, we're talking about how they managed to hide in the, in the wake of EA with the Battlefront 2 thing. It is also notable that this comes just a couple of weeks after EA massively restructuring Battlefront with the microtransaction thing. So it seems like they're very much trying to use them as a meat shield.
I've been playing Axiom Verge all week. One dude made that, and he deserves every fucking penny he makes from it, as far as I'm concerned.
I agree.
And I'm happy that he got $22.99 of my money. I'd have been happy if it was more. And so I'm sorry, Warner Brothers and makers of Shadow of War, but you done gone fucked up, and I've already left the building. Sorry.
You know, the only thing that I'm kind of glad of, since this is Warner Brothers, I'm kind of glad I got the full Arkham trilogy before this microtransaction bullshit came to the front.
Oh,
because I really enjoyed those games. What did you do?
Yeah, there was
is he dead?
What am I still? Am I gone now?
I thought
no,
you did.
No, I mean, was it maybe the sound of me cracking my knuckles you heard?
That was probably it.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, I'm impressed the mic picked it up. I thought Richard dropped a thing.
No,
it was me cracking my old lady knuckles. Sorry.
I'm relatively still right now.
That sounds like an awesome, all-girl country and western band.
Old lady knuckles.
Old lady knuckles, yeah. Or a shitty
Sonic
character.
That's my wrestling name.
I can see that. So I'm just glad I got the Arkham series out of the way before they started doing this bullshit.
I mean, maybe this means we are coming out of the microtransactions war. Whatever. Maybe it was just those few months, but we'll see what happens going forward, I suppose.
Like 3D films.
Yeah, like 3D films. Just, we're done now. It was a thing you came up with for a while, but we're done now. Anyway, we'll call that the end of the microtransaction conversation then. This show's going to be fun to edit, I can tell you that much.
Oh, I so envy you.
Yeah, exactly. In other news, Valve removes Steam Machine section from the front of Steam.
This is a sad day.
It's not at all. No one cares.
Well, I think Steam Machines were ahead of their time.
I think they were never quite part of our timeline. Like, it was... Have you ever seen Fringe?
See, if you'd said Community, I would have been with you. I've never seen Fringe.
Fringe is great.
You'd like Fringe. You would enjoy Fringe, I think.
I have the entirety of The American Office to watch.
Oh, watch that. Skip season one. Skip season one.
I've already seen season one. The awkward copy-paste of The British Office, which didn't quite fit. But yeah.
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 Oh, that's our favorite TV show after Star Trek. Whatever. It's on all the time in this house. I can write you the script.
Have you watched Parks and Rec?
Yes, I have, yeah.
Because it's going up against that as one of my favorite shows.
Oh, I wouldn't like... Yeah, I would pick The Office, but I do have a special place in my heart for Parks and Rec.
It is a special show.
That is another show that I've seen all the way through 27 times, which is...
Same here.
And again, skip season one, but, you know, it's just one of those...
Absolutely. In fact, you could skip season two as well of Parks and Rec, but, you know.
Yeah, maybe so. It really gets good when Rob Lowe arrives.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I was so sad when he left that show. He was brilliant.
I know.
Role.
But they did manage to carry on really well, though.
Absolutely. But this is not
when
why
they jumped
here.
Ahead to the mystical year of 2017.
Anyway, Steam Machines.
Yes. There were two reasons for the failure of Steam Machines. One has sort of been solved now, and what's interesting is the other one is kind of going to be solved in a few years' time. The first problem was hardware. It was getting a PC shrunk down into a console-sized case and not having it be shit. Because the problem with full PC hardware in a case that size is to get the full PC performance, it's going to run quite hot. In a case that size, that means you need big fans, which means it's going to be really loud. So you have that, choice of, it's not going to be, unless you lock it away in a cabinet, which is then going to make it even warmer. So the fans are going to have to spin even faster. You're never going to be getting the full PC performance out of it.
Yeah.
That's kind of being solved now. There are some really great, in the past couple of years, there have been some really great small form factor cases and configurations. There's some really clever ones which use the actual case as part of, basically turns the case into a heatsink.
Mm.
Just to try and get, those temps down. To make the hardware not have to, work as hard and make the fans not have to blow as hard. The second problem, and arguably the biggest one, was that in order for Steam machines to work, they had to run, they couldn't include a copy of Windows, because then they would, each one would have to include a 100 quid Windows license, and it also wouldn't have the convenience of being just the Steam machine, which was kind of the whole point, which meant it had to run on Linux. And that's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a big problem, because for developers to add support for Linux, it's a lot of effort for very little return, because most Linux gamers, most Linux users, if they are gamers, they'll also have a PC. It'll probably, you know, they're probably dual booting into Linux. And
I refuse to accept that there is such a thing as a Linux gamer.
I agree. I really agree.
There is not one. Why?
Yeah.
How? What? There is no point to being a Linux gamer.
It's not what it's for. It's really not what that OS is for. But this was the thing that, you know, Steam, around the time of Steam machines, they really tried to push Linux. You know, they really tried to encourage developers, hey, you can develop for Linux too, you know.
Well,
that we can put it on our format, on our Steam machines.
Yeah, this is all part...
all the developers collectively went, no.
Well, it's all part of the SteamOS thing, and them having this console-like front end to the Steam store, which you can see if you go... Is it still baked into the main Steam app?
I think it's still baked in as big picture mode.
Right,
basically.
Okay, yeah.
I have a skinned version of Steam, so I'm not sure if I actually can see it.
Right. I was partway through writing a blog post about this last night and got bored and sidetracked. So I'll just basically regurgitate it now and save myself some typing. In some way, I think the Steam machine was a brilliant idea and laughably stupid simultaneously.
Yes. Yes, I agree.
Right. So the point was that you could play games that currently only run on a PC platform on your television. Well, you can. There's a billion and one ways to do that without buying a dedicated machine to do so. You know,
is why Steam themselves moved over and did things like the Steam Link, which I almost got this week. Fun story later on, but I almost ended up with one of those things. There's been a lot more ways of streaming to, you know, TVs now have built-in Wi-Fi. A lot of them can just accept streams from places.
Yeah.
So this solution,
it was a pointless solution to a problem that we didn't really have. And here's the other problem with it. Is we're talking about PC games. Now, one thing I've noticed about games that work well on the TV and sell really well on the PC is they tend to come out on the Xbox One and PS4.
You make a good point, sir. You make a good point.
More often than not, that's the case. I don't think, I'd love to play the new Call of Duty. Oh, shit, I've only got a PS4 Pro. How can I play it? Yeah, it's not really a struggle. And if you
add into that the fact that there has been some terrible PC ports. Going back again, Arkham Knight. I'm really glad I played Arkham Knight on the PS4 rather than the PC, because that thing was never fixed.
And games that don't work well on TV don't come to consoles. They stay on PCs, because there are games that work fine as a PC game, but wouldn't work well as console games. That doesn't necessarily stop developers, Sims 4, but you know, some games do work better on PC, and that begs the question, why would you want to try and break with that and put it on your damn TV? If it worked on your TV, there'd be a console version. And that's really all there is to it. And, you know, as some of these Steam machines went as high as $6,000.
Absolutely, yeah, because they got in they contacted like big name developers, you know, or hardware manufacturers, hoping that that would spur people, you know, that would spur development and help get rid of some of those problems that the hardware faced. But in fact, it just meant that the first wave of them was incredibly expensive and put everyone off. Whereas most of those steps forward in small form factor cases for PCs, they've come through indie developers and, you know, Kickstarters and stuff like that. You know, small companies who are appealing to what is a niche.
It's so, what a weird niche that I'm not even sure really exists.
Oh, they're out there. They're out there. I mean, here's the thing. Say you have a media PC that you use for storing all your stuff, accessing, you know, your apps. It runs Windows, but, you know, you mainly only use Plex or, you know, Kodi or some other software. Why not, you know, it's a PC. Why not have it run some games as well? Why not therefore have a much nicer interface to run them rather than having to squint at your TV from 5 feet away to make out Steam's interface itself? It's there, but it's a niche that Steam tried to turn into a mainstream thing and failed quite spectacularly at.
Yeah. Do you know what it reminds me of is 3DO.
I'm familiar with the name 3DO, but elaborate.
Right. It was never big here because it was ridiculous, but it was a similar sort of, we've designed a platform and a format, etc., and we will allow whoever is capable of making machines that are compatible with that make a console. So you got a console made by Philips, one by LG.
I think, you know, that kind of thing.
That all worked on the 3DO platform, but with different machines, but all applied this spec. They were all crap and £700 or whatever, and you just wouldn't ever see one. I saw one in real life in 1993 in a shop in Florida.
And it obviously made an impression.
Yeah. That was it. You didn't see one in someone's house. No one got the 3DO. But it was years ahead. Well, it wasn't years ahead. It was just £500 more expensive than everything else. And when you do that, you can make a more powerful console, can't you, Microsoft?
Did you just drop out or did you just abrupt? Okay.
I think I just dropped off. I was rambling.
You just went all, yeah. What's interesting there is we got the middle of that sentence at the end of that sentence.
How very odd. Thank you.
But you're back now.
Skype's not doing well tonight, ladies and gentlemen, as you might have told from the choppy editing that this episode will have had so far. So
is Emma still there?
I'm here, yeah. It's you're talking about PC things, so I have nothing to contribute to this part of the conversation.
This is
what you need my husband for.
It reminds me of 3DO. You know, we've got an idea. Right. You take the risk on the hardware. So, you know, this is the thing.
Right.
Valve haven't lost anything other than sort of some developer time for a bit, which, let's face it, they weren't using on games.
Yeah.
So that's all they've lost. They haven't got a warehouse full of Steam machines somewhere to shift. So they've not done that badly out of it, whereas some people might actually have a warehouse full of Steam machines that they've got to shift. You know,
the likes of Alienware and MSI probably have. Hopefully, if they were clever enough, they repurposed those cases. You know, just stuck a different label on them and, you know, shipped them out.
The clever thing to do. But, you know, this was a failed experiment that was never that great an idea to begin with. And of the games...
I've seen some places,
of the games that were available for it, it would be unfair to say there were no good games there that you recognize, but it was not a great selection. And it wasn't... I don't think there's been anything new added to it of note for some time.
This was the second thing I was going to go into, is that what's funny is that Linux could, in the next 4 or 5 years, could see greater support for games sort of by default, because a lot of developers will be maybe switching from using OpenGL to Vulkan, and Vulkan has much more broad support for Linux, you know, off the bat. So it means that you don't have to put in as much effort to make sure that it runs on Linux as, you know, in the past. So for people who are wanting to do this, they will have more options, which is good. But yeah, I think Steam machines will remain an interesting sort of footnote in history.
Yeah, I think that's the best way of putting it, an interesting footnote
in history. Yeah, I've seen some sites reporting on this as sort of hopeful, you know, some slightly deluded optimism that, oh, they're just hiding it for now until it returns like Jesus to save us all. It's like, it's fucking dead, mate.
It's dead. Yeah. Speaking of something that is not dead, Far Cry 5 becomes the fastest selling game in the franchise's history.
Smooth.
That was awful. It was not smooth. It was terrible. But essentially what we're saying is, isn't Far Cry 5 doing well?
Seems to be. I've been very tempted. Yeah.
I'm sad because I was hoping there would be a catastrophic price drop like there was for Wolfenstein, and I'd be able to swoop in and grab a bargain because I desperately want to play this game, and dodging spoilers is becoming harder and harder at the moment.
Really? Because you see, that's the interesting thing with the Far Cry game. Story is never a concern of mine. If you could tell me the end of Far Cry 5 now, I'd be like, fine, I don't give a shit. You know. Whereas if you did that with Assassin's Creed Origins, I would have been pissed.
Shit, it's 48 quid.
It's 48 quid. It's well expensive.
Well, you see, the thing is, it's a very different kind of, you know, Far Cry and Wolfenstein. Both single-player games primarily, yes, but very different. Far Cry is a massive time sink. It's not a tight, linear 10-hour story experience. This is, you know, a sprawling 40-hour single-player experience.
Yeah.
So I don't think we'll be seeing massive price drops. I mean, maybe the Christmas sales.
Now, my birthday's before that, so, you know, if I have to wait till my birthday, I will. But, I'm sad because I pre-ordered Wolfenstein to get it on release day, and then about 10 days later, it was £15. it was in shops, £15 less than what I paid for it already. So I was thinking, I won't do the same thing with Far Cry 5. I'm sure that will price drop. No, mate, it hasn't. It's still 48. It's 48 quid everywhere, even the supermarkets. When I went to Asda the other day, 45 quid in Asda. You know, usually the supermarkets are a bit cheaper.
I saw it today in Sainsbury's, same price. So, yeah.
And they want to charge you 25 quid for a season pass on top of 45 quid for the bloody game. So,
yeah,
it's just a bit too much money for me at the moment, which is really sad.
In fact, going back to Wolfenstein, and you remember the weird price thing about it on Amazon? There's a weird price thing with Far Cry 5 on Steam. The Far Cry 5 standard edition is 50 quid. The deluxe edition is 60.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. You can buy the deluxe pack for $8.69. So why would you buy the deluxe edition, buy the standard edition, and then buy the deluxe upgrade pack. And get...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's stupid. That is really stupid. Sadly, it doesn't carry through with the gold edition, which is cheaper if you buy the gold edition. You don't get... Yeah.
See, that's weird because on Amazon, when I was looking, so the standard one is 48 quid.
Right.
For the standard boxed one. Then there's the gold one, which I think it was something like 50 in the 50 bracket. Then the deluxe one, which I think is all of it, season pass, the whole shebang, is 68 quid. But from what I've learned from experience, do not buy the gold edition of these things, right? If you're going to spend the money, just either get the standard one or the deluxe. The gold one is a bit of a rip-off because I got the gold Assassin's Creed Origins, right? So this was for Christmas, so I didn't buy this. I didn't realise is the gold edition will give you usually just stuff, like a gun in this case, some gear in Assassin's Creed Origins case. You know, it was a shield, a sword. Problem is you will out-level that stuff within an hour of playing.
Yeah. Not only will you out-level it, you will find far better stuff that you will be more happy to invest your money in leveling up with you than the crap that they gave you for free.
Exactly. Well, not free. You paid for it.
Well, absolutely.
The gold edition. So, yeah, the gold edition, you know, you get, you know, unless you're really keen to get something with a slightly more Greek gold case or just get the standard one and buy the season pass later, it's really... The gold edition is not a good deal.
Yeah. Sort of side story to this, I did see an article, I think it was on Kotaku, I might be wrong, and it's an interesting kind of article that I think we will see like sections of sites devoted to this from now on. It's kind of disappointing, but it was It was a review, not of the game, but of the microtransactions and going through and, you know, telling you how they work. Are they pay to win? Are they sort of egregious? What, you know, system? And Far Cry 5 actually came out generally quite favorable in that there's no pay to win. The stuff is mostly cosmetic and you can get everything in the game. All the premium stuff can be earned through in-game play and surprisingly easy, in fact. So it actually came out fairly, which was annoying because I was like, please give me a reason not to want this. Give me a fucking reason. And like, no, it's quite reasonable, actually. The only unreasonable thing is that they found was an interesting way they do sort of a slight dick move, because the game has two currencies. It has silver bars, which are used only to purchase like premium stuff. And it has in-game dollars, which you earn by doing missions and stuff. You can find silver bars in the game world, but only a small number of them. Otherwise, you have to pay for them with real life money. Every item in the game has a price in silver bars and in in-game dollars. But if you use the start menu to access the market, it only shows you the silver dollar price or the silver bar price.
Right.
So it implies that the only way to get those items is to pay with the silver bars. Whereas if you go to one of the in-game vendors, it will show the exact same items, but it will show both prices. It's weird. And it's weird enough that I could consider that a bug. If they fix that quick enough, I'd be like, okay. Otherwise, bit of a dick move.
It's a lot of a dick move, because, like you say, it implies that the only way to obtain these things is silver bars. So, that is naughty. But I do appreciate that there's, a sort of a major gaming website like Kotaku is sort of taking the time to investigate these things and then give consumer advice.
I wish I'd liked it. Yeah,
I remember I glanced at that as well. Again, I was sort of only just skimmed it because I'm trying to not learn too much about this game.
I'm trying to find excuses not to love it. I watched, I don't know if either, every time I say I don't know either of you watch this YouTube channel, it's always, well, yes. Defend the House.
Nope, they don't know that one.
No.
They do, they're basically the gaming Mythbusters. They do videos of myths around gaming, around gameplay, and they've done, they do a whole lot of multiplayer games, a whole lot of open world games. This week they did their first episode of Far Cry 5 Mythbusters. And you know how you have your dog and you can tame animal companions and give them orders? You can attach C4 to your animals.
I wouldn't do that, though.
I'm not attaching C4 to that dog.
They had a montage of sticking C4 to the dog and sending it into outposts.
But the dog
that's hilarious, and also fuck you. Because, I don't know if I could have the dog. I don't think I could put up with the whimpering. I couldn't take it. No, don't hurt the dog.
I was a person who did not, as soon as I could do, I put dog meat in Fallout 4 and 3. I put him somewhere safe and then never took him out bear it.
Yeah. Same here.
So,
John, I did manage to watch John Wick, but it was fucking hard.
Oh, no, I wanted to fast forward through that bit. I couldn't.
I did fast forward through that bit. I started the movie from 16 minutes in.
But yes, so Far Cry 5, we're all, well, me and Emma are excited about it, kind of irritated by it.
I'm trying to mentalize it so I don't go and spaff cash on it when it's this expensive still.
I'm not interested in it. I'm just
I was going to call you Jim there. Rich.
Call me Jim if you want. It'll get confusing. Skype's gone weird again.
No?
Yeah. Hello? He's back.
Hello.
Sorry, this is...
How long did we lose you for?
About 30 seconds, if that.
Right, okay. What was the last thing we were saying?
You were going to call him Jim.
Yeah.
I was going to call you Jim. Did you hear that part?
I did.
All right, yeah, because you shared the... We'll make this seamless. Cut this part out. Leave it in. You shared that Jimquisition video about the uberfication of games.
I did, yeah.
Which, interestingly, I totally agreed with everything it said, but it kind of didn't put me off Far Cry 5 in a weird way.
Well, if you like it, then you like it. It doesn't matter that there's something else that is similar or differently skinned or whatever. Look, I think we've all figured out that Fallout and Skyrim are basically the same game.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
We figured that one out. They're the same game with different graphics. And we're okay with that because we like those games. And so I think if you like the Ubisoft model of things, then so what if it's similar to other things? It doesn't matter.
He did the one point that really hit home for me, and he's completely correct. And as he said, it's not a problem, is that games like Far Cry are filler. They're the games you play in between games an awful lot of the time.
Yeah,
I don't know if Emma agrees with that because you're like invested in the story, but this is what I meant when I said that I could give no craps about the story in Far Cry 5. But for those who do, I totally, you know, that's your jam.
Well, I mean, to be honest, with the Far Cries, they're only very, I mean, in some cases, not at all, and only very loosely interlinked. Yeah. So it's his own independent story. So not saying take the Far Cry off it, and it's still going to be an interesting story with an excellent shooter around it. So I'm interested in both aspects of that. And, you know, Richie, earlier in the day, you sort of retweeted something about, you know, hating things isn't a substitute for a personality.
Yeah.
And
hating popular things doesn't make you an interesting person.
Oh, I love popular things.
Sometimes things are popular because they're good.
Mm-hmm.
You're allowed to like things that are popular because they're fun.
Yeah.
I don't really hold a lot of truck with this. Ooh, it's just, why don't you play this intellectual game over here? Dude, I can do both. I can enjoy this game and also that one, but this one is fun, so.
What's the point in playing a game that's not fun? That's just sadism. Don't do that. Only play fun games that you enjoy. That should be the rule.
And similarly, you know, there are a lot of people who pretend to like very deep intellectual games, which are objectively shit. See, Please Knock on My Door.
Not familiar with that one.
The one that encouraged me to kill myself.
Oh, that one, yeah. Yeah,
that one.
Yeah, yeah.
Glowing reviews.
It's all that thing of like with Dark Souls. I wonder if there's how many people, I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of people who genuinely love, you know, people who genuinely love and enjoy Dark Souls. But I do wonder how many of that population are just gritting their teeth because they feel like they have to play this game.
I'm looking forward to it, you know. It's been hyped so much. It's like, oh, it's so hard. Like, it can't, it's just a game, dude. I'll play it. I'm looking forward to it.
Digital Foundry just did a comparison of the sort of the old and the remastered versions. It's a small upgrade, but it's an upgrade.
Fine. I mean, yeah. I'm going to be running it on a Switch, so.
Yeah, exactly. I think it'll look fine on a Switch.
Yeah. It'll be totally cool. Do you know what? And as I play more Xbox 360 games, they're really not awful, you know. It's not like a massive step back. It'll be fine. I'm sure, although I will go and watch that Digital Foundry video. Other news, then.
Mm-hmm.
No Man's Sky arrives on the Xbox One. Quick, Emma, quick, go and not buy it. Go and avoid it like the fucking plague.
Plague, yeah. I mean, talk about too little too late, like we were talking about with Shadow of Mordor earlier. Bloody hell.
I am trying to be a better person. I'm trying to be more forgiving and accepting. I looked at MatPat, who does the game theory and film theory. Mm-hmm. I looked at his Twitter feed, and it's just all things about being kind and forgiving and being a nice person and not being so hateful. I hope Sean Murray catches on fire someday. I really do.
Yeah.
Sean, if you're listening, go towards the flames.
Just, this was, for those of you who don't know, No Man's Sky was a game that came out on PS4 a couple of years ago on PC and did absolutely nothing that it promised to do. People were very excited about it. It was going to be the new Elite, I think, the new, that kind of thing. We were going to go on endless journeys throughout this galaxy and meet our friends in space and stuff like that. No, we weren't. No, none of it. All lies.
This is the game which they had to put out a day one update, which included most of the game. They sent out review copies to press and then begged the press not to review it because they knew that there would be a massive day one update, including most of the game. This is the game they had to put stickers over the boxes because there were features not in the game that they had printed on the box, like multiplayer.
Stuff like that. Just little things, really.
Get into the fire.
And now it's out on Xbox. Great.
Yeah, cool. Came to PC about a year after, and now it's on Xbox One.
We'll put this firmly on the don't buy pile, I think.
Yeah, pretty strongly. Because even if it does, multiplayer aside, even if it did anything that they promised it was going to be, it was really super boring. Like, you know, you just kind of go from planet to planet and look at the things and then leave again and go to another one and okay.
Yeah, it was elite, but without any of the interesting shit to do.
Yeah. This has just reminded me, did you see what the elite dangerous players did after Stephen Hawking died?
I did not. Did they hold a space funeral?
They held a space funeral where they gathered together and did a 3-hour flying tour of all the space stations named after him and ended up at a black hole where they all fired shipments of tea into the black hole in honor of Stephen Hawking. I thought that was really nice. Yeah.
That's really nice. And what's also the thing is it's reminding me of the end of Guardians of the Galaxy 2, which genuinely made me cry.
Did it?
Yeah, it did.
I didn't enjoy Guardians of the Galaxy 2. There's something wrong with me.
Something wrong with all of us. There's something wrong with Sean Murray. He's not on fire.
Yeah. You liar, Sean.
I mean, bold-faced lies. The man, yeah.
Peter Molyneux was taking tips from this guy.
He really was.
Let's move on.
I mean, yeah, he really did. Sean Murray managed to condense. Look, Peter Molyneux has told many lies over a long career, and Sean Murray managed to condense a volume of bullshit that would have spanned Molyneux a whole career into a single fucking game. And he's still not on fire.
He's like a lying stock cube. He's just condensed flavor.
Yeah, he really is.
Hey, do you know what, though? They're doing a new Red Faction game remaster.
Say it like it is written.
It's a remastered edition.
Yeah, and I didn't write that one.
No, you didn't. That was Alice O'Connor at rockpapershotgun.com.
No. Well, no, that's what they're calling it.
Oh, shit.
That's the title.
Oh, shit.
And I love that.
I thought that was like an attempt at a clever blog post title.
Me too.
But it's actually a really shit name for a video game. Okay.
Oh, it's wonderful. and it's a wonderful game. It really is. I very fond memories of playing this back on the Xbox 360.
Red Faction Guerrilla. I've not played this. I've played Red Faction 1 on the PS2. And everything about it says this is a first-person shooter from when 3D was only just a thing.
Yeah, they took it, they made it third-person and made it all about... It really is, well, as the video says, it's about being a space asshole. You go around wrecking shit with a sledgehammer and explosives. It's...
That sounds like fun.
The kind of destruction in this game wasn't really topped until, Just Cause 3 came out. Like a couple of years ago. So that's quite a, 2009. So they held that, that title for, King of Destruction in games for a good, 7 years. And now it's getting remastered. It just looks like they're going to, higher resolution textures, higher resolution everything, more particle effects, which, fine, go for it. I don't know how it will hold up today. In terms of what people want from their gameplay. But yeah. If they price this cheap enough, then I totally see there being room for this and people having fun with it. And how can you not buy the remastered edition?
That's a terrible title. It's a really terrible title. It's really terrible. I'm probably buying the original one, though, for the 360.
You see, this... Yeah.
It is £1.62 on Amazon right now.
Bloody hell. I mean, it is out on PC. How much is the normal version on PC? Red Faction Guerrilla Steam. Well, £15. So if they brought the remastered edition out for, you know, 20, 25, totally. Easy buy.
Okay. I will check out more Red Faction games. I might even get a remastered edition.
It's starting again.
Oh, shit. It's Skype. This is fucking Skype. Can you hear me now? Am I making any sense now, or is it just noise? It's just noise.
There are big gaps between in the middle of your sentences.
Bollocks. I think
I'm back again.
Yeah, I think Skype's just having a shit night. I think it's Skype.
Yeah, well, we've got a few more stories to get through.
Okay, moving on from Red Faction. Hitman Definitive Edition published. Were we waiting for that?
Coming from Warner Brothers, so this is... No, what do you call them? IO Interactive. They broke up with Square Enix, who allowed them to keep the franchise, the Hitman franchise. So now they're being published by Warner Brothers, which worries me.
Well, yeah, they might stick some loot boxes in there.
Yeah, yeah. This is a worry. So this is coming to... This is the Definitive Edition, and they have been... Since they've gone independent, they have put out a few different versions of this in... a relatively short space of time.
Is this sort of, so as the definitive version, is this all the Hitman games or something?
No, this is just the latest Hitman.
Because it came out episodically, so this is all of it in one lot, plus some extra bits.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is, when is this coming?
May.
May. I played it as it came out, episodically. Really enjoyed it. It's tempting now that I'm on PC to, you know, because I played it on PS4, and then I got before I had the gaming PC. So it was kind of annoying that I'd unlocked all my special stuff on the, you know, the PS4 edition, and that will not carry through to any new. They really need to fix that shit. if we're gonna be bothering to sign up for, you know, this friggin' version of an account and this, you know, in multiple games, they may as well find a way to carry over your unlocks between versions.
Yeah.
But I might check this out if it goes cheap enough.
Well, the Hitman games have been on my list for some time, and I'm sort of building them. I've got a couple of them here ready to go. But, yeah, I just haven't gotten to them yet.
If you want, yeah, if you want to sort of experience the best of it, either Hitman Blood Money or the latest Hitman, sort of whatever version you get of that.
I've got two for the Xbox. That's what I've got.
If
I don't
Blood
know.
Money is the, avoid Absolution. Avoid at all costs.
I'm just looking at which ones I've got. I think is one of them Hitman Contracts. And...
That would be, yeah, Hitman Contracts was a sort of remastered version of... Wait, no, I might be wrong there. I think it's either the second one or a remastered version of the first one.
I think it's a remastered version of the... Because there's an edition for the 360 that's got 1 and 2 on it, isn't there?
No, so, I mean the original Xbox. So I've got, it's Hitman 2 and Hitman Contracts I've got.
Right. I think Contracts is the sort of semi-remastered version of the original.
Right.
Hitman.
Well, that means I can avoid the Hitman.
Those are quite old school. You know, they haven't aged well, sort of controls-wise and such.
Right.
They might put you off the franchise.
Well, no, I can be forgiving of such things if I know I'm playing an old game. So that's the news for this week, such as it is, heavily edited together with Skype dropouts.
I may actually listen to this week's episode just to see what the fuck survives.
It's only 10 minutes long. It won't take you long. It's only 10 minutes. So what have we all been playing this week? Mike, you never go first. Go first.
Yay! Well, I've played a couple of things. First thing, I played a lot of Axiom Verge. Finished it last night, in fact. I had been playing it up till now. I had been playing in sort of bursts, but this week I sort of really got down into it. Finished the story. I got all the weapons and all of the gear upgrades. Didn't get all the No, well, I say all the gear, all sort of ability upgrades.
Yeah.
I didn't get all the power-ups or all of the lore. Really, really enjoyed it. It was a really tight... It's a great Metroidvania, great shooter. One of the only issue was because I got all of the weapons and all the upgrades before going into the final fight. Like, I'm sure you can attest to this, Rich. The boss fights in Axiom Verge are pretty fucking difficult.
They can be.
Until you figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
Until you figure out the trick.
Once you figure out the trick, they're fairly straightforward. But until then, they are a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
It's the game I was going to mention as having played most this week. Because, you know, I've had quite a few sleepless nights thinking, like, where am I supposed to go next? What am I supposed to... My only criticism of the game is that there are... I feel there are too many times where I'm just like, right, what the fuck am I supposed to do now? What am I actually trying to do? And you just have to sort of start searching everywhere again.
I fell in... Very quickly, I fell into the habit. As soon as you get about halfway through the game, you gain the a route opens up that allows you to fairly easily backtrack.
Yeah.
To, you know, the early areas. So I started getting into a habit of as soon as I came up against a brick wall and I couldn't figure out what to do next, I would just go back to the starting area and do sort of a lap of the map again to find where sort of the things were that I couldn't get to before.
Yeah.
And I found that helped. It was a bit time sinking, and there was more than one occasion. In fact, I took a video of it. I did spend a good 15 minutes attempting a jump because I was sure I could make it.
Yeah, I had a few moments like that myself.
I did that. There was a jump. This is my one criticism. My biggest criticism really is that what was your emotion like when you got the grappling hook?
So much relief.
So much relief. So much relief. I hate that fucking grappling hook.
Oh, it's not easy to use.
It's a bastard.
Yeah.
It's a bastard of a grappling hook because it's not physics-based. It's animation-based. And we're kind of spoiled by things working how they should work in real life.
Yeah.
Whereas this works, you know, if you detach at the wrong point, you won't go where you should go. You go where the game tells you to go. And there are... some of the upgrades and some of the sort of optional stuff that you can get to, there is, right, okay, this will be meaningless to anyone who hasn't played the game. There is a jump in the game where you have to fire your drone, use the teleport at the peak of the drone to switch places with the drone, then quickly use the grappling hook, and then from the grappling hook, you have to then detach and teleport upwards in order to get the thing. I spent 15 minutes trying to do this because I could get to the point where I was hooked onto the thing, but I couldn't teleport through the thing once I detached from the grappling hook. I came back after I'd gotten the final upgrade and I was able to get it in like the first try. But I did save the 15 minutes of me repeatedly trying and failing and having to go fucking back to where I needed to make the jump.
I think I did that very jump last night.
Yeah, it's for the second mutation thingy.
Yeah.
The second injector thingy.
Different thing then.
All right. There's a couple of those jumps in the game, but this one kind of drove me a little bit simple. that's it. While I came to hate the grappling hook, the only other thing is that with all, as I was saying, the boss fights, because I had all of the weapons and one weapon in particular, the final boss fight was beyond trivial. Have you finished the game?
No, about to go and get the final boss.
Okay. Do you have the flamethrower?
I don't have the flamethrower.
Okay, you'll have a more interesting time then.
I was actually going to get the, I think it's the ion gun that I want.
The ion gun is fun. There are some very fun weapons. There are some, well, I don't know whether to say this. I don't know whether this, you know, is a fair criticism, but like partway through the game, I was like, there are way too many guns in this.
No, I think there are too many guns in it.
a lot of them felt like, oh, that's kind of interesting, but also completely useless.
Yeah, I will never use that. Whatever. You kind of pick one that you'd like and stick with it. I'm getting a lot of mileage from the lightning gun.
Exactly. When you get the lightning gun, that is like, okay, that's a bit of a game breaker, but I'll take it. If you got the flamethrower, and I don't know where, I can't remember where the hell it is, the flamethrower, it's a late stage weapon, and for good reason, it really breaks everything.
Really? I think I'm going to have to go and find it.
Well, basically, the reason it breaks everything is it fires through walls.
Ah.
There are very few weapons in the game that do that for good reason.
Yeah, that the electricity one does that as well, doesn't it? It makes me think of cauliflower broccoli. Kind of, because that's the pattern it makes.
Oh, yes. But, I really, really enjoyed Axiom Verge. The only thing that made me think I could be enjoying it more is I think you probably are having a better experience on the Switch than me playing it on, you know, a big, massive screen. I think it's, like, really well-suited, probably really well-suited to being more portable.
Well, I don't know. I've played it a lot on the TV. A lot. Because, first of all, you have to record any footage because that all requires HDMI wires and that sort of thing.
You did some of that.
Yeah. And I've been braver about just putting stuff on the TV in general. It's a weird couple thing. Right. We've never once had so much as a heated debate over one of us using the TV for computer games. Not once. We both have so many electronic screen devices that if we want to be entertained by something visual, the TV isn't necessary to do that. And yet we both sort of have this guilt that comes from nowhere over
about monopolizing.
Yeah. And we've openly discussed this and said, I feel like this, and I don't know why, because you've never done anything to make me feel like that. And we both reply, I know, and I don't feel like that about you using the TV, but I feel like you do as well. But
what's interesting is romantic comedies have probably trained you both to understand that even though you have discussed that it is not an issue and neither of you care about it, if at any point either of you so much as tiptoes into breaching that, you will instantly end in a murder-suicide.
That's it.
Yeah.
I've been playing a lot more on the TV is the gist of that. I've also been doing some PS4 stuff, but that's taking my go in the middle of yours. So, but Axiom Verge, yeah.
Back in line.
It's fine on the TV. I mean, it's right? because it's 16-bit style graphics, but they've been done for these days.
It has plenty of modern, you know, effects applied on top, like the weapon effects and such. There's a lot of them that have really, you know, non-16-bit effects and things warp, and it's really interesting.
Yeah.
So I'm really glad. It's actually a game I'm going to actually go back through and see if it's been covered in any of the Games Done Quick, because it has a dedicated speedrunning mode, and because of the way it's made, because of the sort of the huge amount of tools and guns and different things, I imagine that there are going to be some incredible speedrunning attempts on this thing either in the future. I don't actually know how old is it as a game. It could
2015 it came out, I believe.
Right, so it is older than I thought.
Yeah, it's I only noticed it because a Switch version came out.
Yeah.
Incidentally, it's interesting. And I've just been and checked it out in the Switch eShop. Axiom Verge is £10.49 right now. It's 30% off. So much game for a tenner.
It really is.
So worth that much money.
It's a fantastic game. I mean, and again, soundtrack, amazing. I really enjoyed that soundtrack.
Oh, the soundtrack is fantastic.
Yep.
Absolutely fantastic. It's been just playing in my head since I got the game, really. I'm very impressed with that. I really don't have anything bad to say about it. It's just me being picky if I'm complaining about anything. It's not a genuine complaint. I'd happily recommend this to anyone who likes this sort of game.
Yeah. It's a great Metroidvania-style game. If you like that genre, this is a perfect example of it. And what's what's interesting about it is that as I was playing through it early in the game, I kept seeing things like the little gaps that are half your size. And I thought immediately, oh, all right, so I'm going to get an upgrade that lets me turn into a ball or crouch down.
Yeah, yeah.
And it doesn't do that. It gives you its own take on, you know, it takes like the problems that are posed in Metroid games, but then gives you its own solution. And it's really interesting. So I really, really, really enjoyed that. I think it'll be a while before I play another Metroidvania game. I may. I finished the game. I actually took a screenshot. Because at the end of the game, of course, it gives you... where is it? In fact, where does... Yeah. NVIDIA open file location. Yeah. My final stats. I did it on normal difficulty. It took me 13 and a half hours. I got 82% of the items, which was, as I say, all the weapons and all of the tools. My map percentage, 98%. And I know where those 2% are, so I may have to, I hope I can load it up and it'll be like just before I went into the face of the main boss so I can go back and get that 2%.
I have just loaded mine up and checked. I'm at 85% on the map and 65% right on items. So there's a lot I've missed, and I'm 17 hours in.
Yeah, and it's sort of the lore, why there are a lot of notes and stuff that you find that explain the lore, and there's fun things you have to do in order to understand those notes.
Yeah, it's a long story short, though, it's a great game.
It's a great game. The other game I've been playing this week was Human Fall Flat.
You're just copying me now, Mike.
I am just copying you. I am just copying you. And I have to agree, I started it up and the first thing I thought was, my God, this music is depressing as shit.
Isn't it? Just like,
it's really depressing. It's really nice, but it's really, like, kind of bleak.
Yeah, you don't want it playing while you're doing the game.
But that was sort of solved for me because I couldn't play the game.
Oh.
Yeah. I loaded it up. I got it because, well, funny story, it showed up on April the 1st. I got an email saying, you know, a game on your Steam wish list is half price. And I was like, yay, I'll go on and I'll get that. And then when I loaded up Steam, the little Steam pop-up notification said that you can get, for today, only you can get a bundle with, there were three games in it. It was, one of them was Doom, the other was Human Fall Flat. And there was a third one. And it says, if you get, you can get these games, and if you get them in a bundle with a Steam Link, you can get the Steam Link for 81p. And I was like, this has got to be an April Fool's joke, right? And I added it to my basket, and I was like, no, they're giving away Steam Links for like less than a quid.
Okay.
And then I saw they what they were doing, you still had to pay for the postage, which was like $7.50. But at this point of the day, I was like, I'll pay $7.50. I'll do that. I want to see what the Steam Link is like. I want to see what a Steam Link does.
Yeah.
And so I ordered it, and then like half an hour later, I was like, $7.50 is enough for a whole other game, and I have literally no fucking use for a Steam Link. So I went back in and I canceled the purchase. But I still had Human Fall Flat. So that night I loaded it up, and within about 2 minutes of starting to play it, I started to feel really ill, really sort of motion sick and very dizzy. So I shut the game down. I figured, well, it's late, so maybe I'm just tired or something. So the next day I loaded it up again, and within 2 minutes, really motion sick, really feeling not very well at all. Human Fall Flat is the first game I've ever played that has given me motion sickness.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think
it's a combination of two things. Firstly is that I was playing it on a massive screen, which I haven't had any problems with the games before. The second thing is, though, it's very bright. It is an incredibly bright game. Everything is, at least in those first couple of levels, everything is bright white.
Yeah.
With like color. I think that might have been doing it. But I did poke around, and the camera has, whenever you're moving around, because your character, you know, moves in a sort of lugubrious way. It's another word I don't know if I actually know the if I'm using it right, but fuck it. I'm going with it. Lugubrious.
It's a fun word. I like it.
It's a fun word. I mean, fuck it if they can add, you know, the opposite of literal being a definition for literal. You know, fuck it. I get to use lugubrious.
Yeah.
And the camera has this weird wobble that's not quite in time with your character walking. I think those sort of three things came together into sort of a perfect storm. And I had to get a refund of the game.
Fair because enough.
It's weird. It's the first game. And I was playing it back at like 140 frames a second. So it wasn't like any kind of lag or latency.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know what the heck happened. I mean, I've always thought I'd be a good, you know, candidate for VR in games, but this actually made me question that.
Well, and have you played any VR stuff?
No, I'd love to try. I would love to try, but I think it was more than anything. I think it was the way the camera moved, the way the camera felt out of sync with the character's movements. I think something.
It seems like seasickness, you know, like, because your inner ear is telling you something different than what's happening on the horizon, and that's what makes you seasick. So I mean, it was almost like that.
It was very much like that, because the only other time I get anything similar to that is I can't read while I'm in a car.
Right.
No, I can't do that either.
I can't do that. I start to get headaches. But otherwise, you know, I'm fine. So I'm... What's interesting is VR shouldn't do that to me, because the whole point of VR is perfectly syncing everything up with your actual movements. So I'd really like to try VR, especially now, just to see if it makes me ill or not, because I've been confident up till now that it wouldn't. But it was also disappointing because I could see within Human Fall Flat that there was an otherwise fun game that I could be having a lot of fun with. It seemed to have a really good, it seems to have quite a dark sense of humor to it, in like the little messages that pop up when you complete puzzles and the narrator. I wasn't expecting a narrator.
it's a good game though. I like it.
Yeah. If I ever do get a Switch, I would be interested to try it again on that to see if it's more playable on a smaller form factor. I don't know. But I did get a refund, and I did leave that as feedback that it made me feel quite motion sick.
Right. I don't get motion sickness, so it's...
Yeah, well, up till now, neither did I.
Yeah, maybe it will start for me. I don't know, but it's I've never had it really as a problem, so I don't know.
So basically, after avoiding all of the April Fools, I managed the April Fool myself. With two purchases, which one of which was just a stupid decision on my part, and the other one made me feel ill. I hate April Fool's Day.
So do I.
And it's the same as Valentine's Day. Any day with enforced, this is how you're supposed to behave. No, fuck off.
That's where I am with it.
Emma?
Emma.
The married person? What do you feel about Valentine's Day?
Well, I mean, because our anniversary is pretty close to Valentine's Day, it's fairly inconsequential for us, so we don't really bother too much with it. We do occasionally try and blag a dinner out of it, but that's about it.
Anything else you've been playing, or...?
No, that was kind of it. I finished the great data migration onto the new hard drive. So all I really had time to play was Axiom Verge.
Fair enough. Okay.
So, okay.
Emma, do you want to go next?
Yeah. So I've been playing A Link Between Worlds mostly this week, and I've been having a lovely time doing it. The other day I read a list of sort of the best games for the 3DS. Taco occasionally puts out like an updated list of what they think is the best 10 games for X or Y system, and just happened to put their 3DS, their revised 3DS list up, and they had A Link Between Worlds, and it said, you know, who is this game for? Sort of, you know, everyone, and who is this game not for? People who hate joy. And I think that's probably about
hello.
Right. Because I mean, I can't conceive of anyone picking up this game and not being delighted by it. It's so much fun. And it's just so lovely. I'm really enjoying it. I have encountered a couple of things which have pissed me off slightly. The first one is that the game will keep trying to encourage you to switch it off.
I saw your tweet. Nintendo started doing that a few years ago.
Yeah, well, I think it was obviously because it's released to a, you know, even though I'm playing it on a 2DS, the game doesn't know that. It's just basically a 3DS with the bits stripped out of it is what I'm playing it on. So the game will keep telling me, when you go to save, it says, you've been playing for a while, why not take a break? And I've never played a game that has tried to discourage me from playing it so much in my life. I wish there was a way to just switch that off because I think that they put, I mean, Nick said that he was encountering the same thing with Super Mario Land, 3DS Land on the on the same system. Because the idea is that people were playing it with a 3D on and obviously eye fatigue and things like that. And I think sort of class action lawsuits and things like that. So
it's for the children, Emma. Please think of the children.
Yeah. Yeah, but can I turn it off? Because I'm a grown-up.
Is there a setting
that says, I'm a grown-up, stop telling me to turn it off, Mum?
There should be a global setting which defaults to on if you're, you know, whenever you set up your DS, your age is over 12.
Well, I mean, it comes with parental controls. When you set up a 3DS, it says, you know, who's playing this? And you set the, you know, parental controls either on or off. And if you set parental controls, they're allowed to look at things up to this age bracket on the Peggy system. So, yeah, I wish, you know, having turned off parental controls, I just wish that when you put the game in, it said, you've got parental controls turned off. This game will tell you, blah, blah, blah. Do you want that on or off? And off, obviously, because, you know, I appreciate you looking out for me, game, but it's not even like you've been playing it for a long time. I mean, literally like half hour, 45 minutes, and they're like, don't you please take a break? No. Stop shaming me for wanting to play your game a lot. But the other thing is I've sort of now encountered a bit of the game that somewhat pissed me off, and I had to put it down because it was making me cry. One of the dungeons is pissing me off.
That's a feature of Zelda games.
Yeah, it is. It's the one with the you have to go and escort the robber girl out of the fucking dungeon.
Yeah, that's been driving Alison a bit nuts this week.
Yeah, because you have to basically get this. You know, it's a escort mission. We have to take this girl out of one of the dungeons. But the problem is, even if the girl gets touched once by a fucking enemy, back to the beginning with you.
Right.
And it's and if you die during a boss fight, back to the beginning with you.
I've done it now.
Yeah, I know you've done it. I will do it. It's not going to stop me. It was just a case of I was trying because what it was is I was trying to finish that dungeon before we started recording tonight, and I thought, oh, I want to finish it. I want to sort of get to the next bit, and then of course I just fucked it up, and I was like, oh, fucking put it down.
It's funny, but I did that with Axiom Verge.
Yeah,
I wanted to get it done.
Yeah, and also it didn't help that the other thing is that I've encountered is this a game where you have to you know avoid the chickens. I can't do it to the point that I said to because I'm heading back down to my hometown this week. And I said to my brother, can you please do it for me? Because I can't do it. It's just a couple of little niggly bits, but I say that Zelda game's in it. But I'll say for 99.9% of the time, I've been absolutely delighted by it. It's really great.
Awesome. Yeah. I'm glad you're enjoying it.
So is that your first sort of bona fide 3DS game?
I played a lot of DS games. The one that I've actually sort of sat down and properly got into it. I mean, the ones that I've sort of played a bit and then put it down and come back to are these, but this is sort of the one that I've played like all the way through, like I would play an Xbox game, I think. Right. I mean, that's the other thing that's pissed me off slightly is the configuration of the buttons. Because the 3DS also uses the XYAB, but in a different order than the Xbox. So my muscle memory is fucking me up at the moment. Because obviously, if you're in like you're trying to fight enemies, and obviously you've got all your buttons laid out, but you just your muscle memory kicks in, and you go to press what you think is the X button, but it's the Y button because it's a different place, and then you're fucked up and ruined everything.
It would be really nice if we could sort of all come together as gamers. And, you know, form a movement to firmly but politely ask hardware developers to standardize, you know, the four button layout terms.
It'll never be helpful.
People our age, because help the aged. I can't keep two button configurations in my head at once.
The human mind was not built for such tasks.
No. I mean, like I said, you know, weeks ago, that I have to sort of, I mean, I've been told that obviously I play the hell out of games. It's mostly because I can't remember more than one control scheme at once. So I have to start a game, learn how to play it, finish it, and then delete everything I know about how to play that game and then replace it with the next one I'm playing, because I can't keep multiple control schemes in my head anymore. Just
apropos of nothing, are you friends with any of your exes?
No.
Thought not.
I'm not either. It's a normal thing.
Why would you be?
I know, I've never met Emma, any of Emma's exes. I don't. It would be weird if we were friends. It would be weird.
Funny.
But I'm glad you're enjoying it. I'm glad it's. I've got everybody into 3DSs. It's amazing.
You have. You've started a trend with us.
You've
with
seen the power that
thing.
I wield. Do you see?
Yeah. Very alarming.
Well, you see, here's the thing. I think we've cost you more in like small purchases.
Yes, you
like
have.
Little games, but you sort of you occasionally get us on big ticket items.
Yeah, yeah. You get us on big ticket. Your relationship is definitely the most endangered out of the two of us, because Chucky's a lot more. Because you're buying a lot of things that are coming through the post.
Yes, that's true.
I'll say I want to give a quick shout out as well to Alice, Miss Ari. Because she sent me some nice messages the other day about listening to the show. So, hello, if you're listening.
And she's a 3DS friend of mine as well.
She is of mine as well, yeah.
I haven't spoken to her in a long time. In fact, I thought her name was Ari.
Different person, Mike.
Oh.
Different person.
Damn it.
Both names begin with A, though. So, well done there. Mm. Is there anything else you've been playing at all, Emma?
No, that's pretty much it, to be honest. Just sort of in terms of sort of time that I've had this week, it's exactly what I wanted the 3DS for. That I've got a couple of hours at home while Chuck's at work, and the cat's not complaining about something, and I've done all the jobs around the house.
I was going to say, have you done your chores?
I have done my chores. I've done my chores, and done everything else. I can sit down for a couple of hours with a cup of tea and play and. Yeah, really enjoying it.
Excellent.
Cool.
Excellent. Well, what
have you been doing this week?
Well, Axiom Verge a lot, mixed in with the occasional Human Fall Flat when I get pissed off with Axiom Verge. I've also been going through my Xbox collection, because I'll be honest, I might have bought a lot of games that I've not even so much as looked at yet. And so I've been going through some of those.
Does Allison ever occasionally walk into the room, sort of stare for a few minutes at the shelf of Xbox games and go, well, I suppose we've got a mortgage.
Yeah.
Better to hang about.
Yeah, she does. Yeah. And you know
see,
what?
It's easy for me and Chuck, because I can just say, how many Space 1999 DVDs did you buy this week? I thought so.
Oh, no, he doesn't, does he? Oh,
he does.
No.
How
but
many
it's
are there?
Awful. And there were only two seasons of that show.
Never seen it.
Yeah, but remastered and stuff. So, yeah, he just bought another set the other day.
It's terrible.
Bloody hell.
It's terrible.
I know, it's shit, yeah.
It was, right, we did it on Ray Guns and Go-Go Boots. And it was one of those where we started watching it, and then Rick and I start messaging each other like, have you started watching it? Like, yeah. Do you want to keep watching it? No.
No.
But we've got it. I've watched 9 of them now. We're doing it. So, yeah, we watched all season 1 of Space 1999, and it was fucking awful. No,
in 1999, I was 9.
Yeah, and no one was in space like that either.
No, I was drunk, so I think I had the best shot at it.
Yeah.
So I was 17. It was in my prime drinking years.
That's it. It's the prime drinking year. So yeah, I've been playing stuff on the Xbox. Some of it not quite as good as I'm now. I was sort of looking for the next game to do a bit of a video review of or something like that. And instead what I've done is successfully just put in game that annoyed me after game that annoyed me. So I think I'm going to do a compilation of things that have annoyed me. Like Jade Empire and Ninja Gaiden. That was driving me fucking mental last night.
Ninja Gaiden drove a lot of people fucking mental back
in
the day.
It's well-armed, though, to be fair. It's designed that way.
Yeah.
No, nothing to do with the gameplay. It was, in this case, it's the camera. Because I'm not talking about the NES Ninja Gaiden. I'm talking about
the
one
Xbox
that came
360
up.
One?
No, the one on the Xbox.
Oh, the Xbox. like I say, designed to be well hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even those ones, because I remember watching my brother, say my brother, who is far superior to me in terms of gaming skill, I watched him play probably the same Ninja Gaiden game, but on PlayStation, and I watched him fight a boss, and the only method he could find to beat said boss was to kick its ankle. And but the problem is it took like a tiny sliver of its health off every time. It worked, but it was literally a war of attrition of watching my brother just kick this motherfucker's ankle for literally half an hour.
The ancient Jack Russell technique.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's I think it's frustrating from the camera angle point of view. If I do a video with it in, you'll see. It's just painful. You can't see who you're fighting or if you've killed them or not. Or if there's anyone around that corner, it's just terrible. So I will get to that at some point. And do you know what as well? I finally got a goal on Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 this week, which is something I've been waiting 17 years to achieve. But I finally did it. I got the word skate on level 1 of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3.
Well done, you.
Thank you. I have a weird mental block when it comes to Tony Hawk's games. I don't know why. This was a game that was the reason why I said I've been trying to do it for 17 years. Obviously not constantly, otherwise I'd have mentioned it before now. But it was a popular game when I was at uni. We had it in the house on the PS2. And because it has that 2-minute countdown timer on every playthrough, it's a great game for when there's a load of people in your living room and you just play for 2 minutes and pass the controller on and they play for 2 minutes and it goes around the room like that. And I always skip my go because I was so bad I didn't want to play when people could see me. And I finally, after years of playing on and off, I managed to do something on it last night. It was quite a tearful moment. I even took a picture and sent it to people on Facebook and like proof, 17 years that took. Also, disturbing thing, it's been 17 years since I was at uni. Oh, so that was another thing to discover that has upset me greatly. But hey.
Oh, bloody, I'm coming up on 13 years, fucking hell.
It's disturbing, isn't it?
Oh, it's horrible.
Really disturbing. And the time since then has just flown. It doesn't feel like 10 minutes since then. But yeah, it's been disturbingly long time. So that's been my gaming week, really. I bought another game that I won't see for weeks.
Oh, shit.
Because
there's been a Nintendo Direct about the new Pokemon game.
Fuck off.
No, wait, what?
Fuck off.
Sorry.
No, there has not.
That was me.
You are lying. You are.
I
this
am
is
lying.
A, you are.
Yeah.
You're bad, Mike. Fool's Day was ages ago. That's fucking
But this is the thing. I hate April Fool's Day. This isn't April Fool's Day.
As if you did that. As if I'm on Nintendo.com already.
It's just you were going on about it last week, so I thought, why not?
It was rumored last week, and it never happened. I'm over it now. I've lost track of what I was saying now. Yeah, you took me off guard there and everything.
Oh.
Bastard. Well, that's the end of this show. I'm not doing any more show now.
Well, there has been new Tropical Freeze, Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze footage.
Oh, no one cares. We want a Pokemon game.
I know.
Actually, I do intend to get that Donkey Kong Country game. I've never played it, so.
I spat on my screen there.
Right, well, thank you for listening, everybody, to our gaming news show, such as it was, bit by bit, eked out over Skype.
Thanks,
hot coals. Yeah. Damn, it was difficult, but nevertheless, we got it out. That's what I told the judge. Thank you for everybody who entered our competition, which I probably announced the winner of at the beginning of the show. And to that person, well done indeed. Thank you for retweeting us and sharing our posts. Please, everybody, continue to retweet us and share our social media posts. It does help other people discover our podcast, which is kind of the point of doing it. And we'll have another competition soon. I'm just not buying a PS4 and Xbox One game every week because I'm not fucking loaded, you know. And if I could do that, I'd be buying them for me. So
you could start raffling off some of those really annoying Xbox 360 games.
I'm
talking about
yeah
Xbox games.
What I intend to do is get some freebies from companies to do as giveaways, because companies are always up for that sort of thing.
Or... I'm not going to lie. It did cross my mind this week to fire off a quick message to Ubisoft.
I think we should
do a gaming news podcast.
I think we should be firing off lots of emails to lots of places, but that's a discussion for another time. Right now it's the end of the show and probably no one's listening anyway. So bye-bye, everybody. We'll be back next week.
I am worried. This show, I feel, is putting in jeopardy my goal of getting to 10,000 tweets with under 100 followers.